Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Danita Applewhite, and I'm coming to you straight on, I mean, with a great attitude, just so positive, because this morning, I read something this morning from a very good friend of mine to open up the student-to-teacher radio show. Her name is Jewel Diamond Taylor, and she has been so instrumental in the progress of this work with White Apple Institute. The sponsor of the Student to Teacher Show. Jewel writes on her website, please make sure you check this out, all those students out there, the listeners, all you teachers and parents, check this out, donotgiveup.net. Jewel says, think positively, network well, network, exercise daily, exercise not only your body but your brain, that's right, eat healthy, work hard, stay strong, build faith, worry less. Read more. Be happy. Volunteer freely. Relax often and love always. Wow. Thank you so much, Jewel, for sharing that with us this morning. We come to an interesting bit of breaking news for all of you out there. We have another instance of mental health being portrayed in the news as the culprit of crime and terror and tragedy. But it is not mental illness in itself that is the culprit, because all of us have some imbalances in our brains and our bodies. The culprit is how we take care of it as individuals and as a society. All right, so you may say, what are you talking about? Because if you haven't heard lately, a young lady by the name of Miriam Carey drove her car past barriers in Washington, D.C., stirred up quite a mess there, and she was diagnosed with postpartum depression and postpartum psychosis. And everyone is wondering, what is the difference between the two? And I'm not going to go into it in any detail right now. I just want you to know that the woman, Miriam Carey, with her daughter in the car, a dental hygienist, so that means that she was a student, my friends, she was a student and a mother, is now gone because of some imbalance that happened in her brain that was not addressed adequately. Who the culprit is in that, we don't know. But there's some things that we do need to hold very, very carefully here as I share this breaking news with you, is that we have to understand the impact that this is making to those of us who have any type of diagnoses. Now, I have a little joke that says there's two people in the world, and that's those that are diagnosed and undiagnosed. Well, with all joking aside, we all have something we have to deal with, because I have never met anyone who's ever been in total control of their thoughts and their dreams. And so if we understand that can throw us off balance sometimes, the things that we dream and things that we think about. Imagine if there's a tremendous chemical imbalance going on in your brain, and you can't control what's going on without medication, the proper medication. So that's what happens to a lot of people when they're dealing with mental health issues and they're diagnosed. But again, this impact, the negative impact of all of this, is that people who have even symptoms of mental health or mental illness are feeling uncomfortable about coming forward, because we're hearing over and over and over again that mental health is the reason for the tragedy. And so it makes many of our students apprehensive about sharing the symptoms that they're having. So I'm going to encourage you this week to make a habit of talking openly about mental illness with your friends and your family. I want you to go into the web, into the internet, or into your books, and I want you to understand a little bit about the diagnosis of depression, bipolar, anxiety. And I want you to understand that even stress, the emotional challenges that people go through, especially those parents who are trying to go to school and manage their life, I want you to find someone in your own circle. It may be a niece or a nephew. It may be a student that you're working with or counseling. It may be a neighbor. But find someone who you see is struggling with trying to balance work and school. I guarantee you they're going through emotional challenges. And we're going to talk about that today. But I want you to really embrace them. Not necessarily physical embrace, if that's not where you're at. But just embrace the thought of encouraging them, of allowing them to speak a little bit about the frustrations that they're feeling. You may be very surprised. We don't want people to feel afraid to discuss what's going on with their lives, especially if they're under a lot of stress. So I ask, as we move into this very important episode this morning, that we not only keep a remembrance of this woman, Miriam Carey, and all of the other people out there who have been portrayed in the news as mentally ill, their diagnosis spread all over the place. I want you to really try hard to love, because love is the healing, and love expressed in any way is our only, really only gift, true gift that we can give to each other. So we thank White Apple Institute and all of the staff there, the volunteers, everyone who comes forward to make this show happen on Saturday mornings. And thank you, listeners out there. We're now approaching 68,000, or maybe we're over that now. Our producers, Malvina Sullivan and Kim Owens are just a tremendous help in keeping the radio show going. Don't know what I'd do without them. And we have some special guests that will hopefully be visiting with us this morning. But we thank all of you for being part of making this happen. The episode this morning that I want to talk to you about is something that comes up many, many times. Our students bring this to our attention. You can become a student of White Apple Institute if you are already a student enrolled in a college job training program or wishing to enter into a program. Give us a call or refer our information to someone you think that could be helped by referral and emotional support. In addition to the fact that we also have crisis stipends that are offered as funds are available to help students through those emergency crises that sometime occur and block them from finishing school. Why do adult students and student veterans drop out? Now, I want you to understand the reason why we have to include student veterans. It's not only just because I'm a veteran myself. It is because I was a student veteran, and we're getting an influx of people who are veterans coming back post 9/11 and even before that, that want to go to school and have to work because they have to balance families. And they're dealing with a lot of emotional challenges. And so we had to focus on the student veteran to make this, to include them in our discussions about adult students, because we're just getting an influx of numbers. You see, according to the research now, we've got about two-thirds of adult college students just in the United States that are dropping out. They're dropping out prior to graduation. That's a pretty high number when you think about it. And it's largely due to the lack of planning in all areas of their life. And I call that a lack of balance, okay? Getting sound advisement. Many times our adult students, because they're returning to school, will assume that the advisor that sits across the desk will know more about their schedule and what they should take than they do. And so we encourage people to become a little stronger on that issue and understand that sound advisement is first going to come from you and your relationship with God. That is the first sound advisement that you're going to look at. And then hopefully some counseling intervention to help you with balancing out a schedule so that you're really truly ready to enter into school. Adult students with disabilities who are parents carry an additional responsibility of just being role models in their community because they're going to school with any kind of visible disability, especially those with visible disabilities. But what about those with invisible disabilities, the ones you cannot see, the ones many of you have heard the upset about when someone drives up with a handicap sticker on their car and seems to move out of the car without any problem? And some of you get very upset about that, but you don't know what's going on with that person inside of them. You don't know if they have a heart problem or something you cannot see. So I really want you to come around with your thinking on that and help others and educate. Because, I mean, you know that ignorance is part of the major problems that cause war and all kinds of tragedies in our world is because people are ignorant to different facts. So help us carry out that message. You know, when parents drop out, it makes an impact not only on their lives, on their psyche, but it makes an impact on their family, especially if they have children. Because one of the things that parents, I believe, that most parents who love their children want to be a good role model. And when they start something, they want to finish it. And so when they're not able to finish something, a goal that they set, and they get the family all excited about them going to school and finishing a degree or certificate, and then they drop out, it really impacts them because they feel not only did they let themselves down, but they let those that love them and look up to them down. So it's really very important that we reach out and not only educate, but support, emotionally support those who are struggling to get through and balance school and work responsibilities. And, you know, there's a lot of alarming reasons why adult students drop out. Most people think that it's because of money. And, yes, money puts a financial strain on people, but that's not the entire reason why people drop out. And we've got callers on the line because the switchboard is lit up here, and we've got callers that are ready to discuss either their own story or things that they've heard about that other people have been dealing with when they're struggling to meet the demands of family and work and school schedules. So I thank you this morning for joining us. And I just want to, before I go any further, I want to give you and all those on the switchboard, and don't forget our chat line is open for those of you who wish to get on and write to me while we're on the show here, and I will share your situation, your ideas, if you don't want to come on the show live. But let me give you a rundown of the six factors that I totally agree with. David Shepp wrote about them in an article. And he mentioned the six things as anxiety and stress, okay? Now, he says over college-related expenses. Remember that college-related expenses for parents who are also students is going to be at least 3 to 4 times heavier or more burdensome than the single person going to college, okay, without children, okay? So anxiety, stress, anxiety about not spending time. Time is a very big issue. Balancing time so that you have not only time for yourself, self first, and time for your family, but time for study. Worrying about whether or not they have the intellectual ability to complete coursework. Because many times for those students who are returning, adult students returning to school may have been out of school for some time now. And they're worried about whether or not they can really keep up with other students, especially those that are younger. Sometimes the stress before the class and even after the class, sometimes during the class, builds up so much because already you have tests, you have curriculum you have to follow, and then something happens before you get to class, okay? And it could be transportation issue, it could be a child care issue, it could be a number of things that happen. I remember my daughter once, just a water pipe bursted, and just before she got ready to go to work. Okay, little things like that interrupt the whole day and impact the way we look at class, that we perform in class. A fear, another one, is fear that earning a degree is needed to prove our competence to others. In other words, we place too much value on the actual degree or program certificate that we're trying to reach as if it validates who we are. So we have to be careful of that kind of stress happening. And the last thing that's brought out here as some of the top six reasons that people drop out is resentment over doing the coursework, especially the coursework, as many of you have told me, many of my students over 35 years have said, why do we have to take this course? It has nothing to do with my degree, okay? But that's the kind of coursework that gets us really, really upset because we don't really enjoy it, and we could think of many other things that we could be doing aside from that, okay? So without further ado, I really want to bring on some guests on the switchboard here. Malvina, our producer, is right there on it. Thank you so much. I'm going to try to get to those that have had tremendous hold times here and see if we have any special guests that are coming on the show this morning. Good morning. I have a 602-574. I have a 574.
Yes, that's me, Professor Kelmer.
Okay, Dr. Kelmer Muhammad, thank you very much for joining us this morning. And we're hoping, Dr. Kelmer Muhammad, we invited you onto the show this morning as a special guest because of the fact that you yourself own a school. And in that school, you have many parents who are dealing with work and school schedules also, and that are, I'm sure, you have come across some instances where you have seen the emotional challenge that they're going through, the stress issues that they're going through, and maybe you can shed some light on anything that you have said to them to help them balance, manage their lives a little bit easier after school.
Previously, I had a school, and I was working on my doctor's degree, and I ran a successful private school for about 8 years, which next year I'm beginning to reopen again and to restructure it. But one of the things that I learned, and that's the reason why I'm restructuring again, it's because we have to deal with the children and what they're going through with stress as well.
Yes.
As parents, we know because of the way the economy is, you have to have a two-parent family in order to survive and to function in our society. So therefore, while you have two-parent income, and where does that leave the child? The child is at school almost 8 hours a day, sometimes longer, because of the simple fact that parents, they often get off work around 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evening. So when the child goes home, parents are tired, they're exhausted. They still have to deal with the child, but the child is looking for comfort from mom or dad.
Yes.
Because they've been in a stressful environment too. So when you look at our society, the entire structure is now being stressed out. Uh-huh. Babies are being born now where parents, you know, like 50 years ago, parents, there was always one parent home where the mom can raise the child, you know, and if she chose to go back to work, usually they would go back to work after the child was like 2 or 3 years old. Now parents have to go back to work, especially mother have to go back to work in order to survive after 6 weeks, you know, 6 weeks of recovery time, and now that child is thrown into a daycare or someone else's home. And, you know, mothers used to breastfeed, a lot of parents breastfeed, but now it's the bottle feed. So we are in a stressful time, and we are putting so much pressure not on just the parents, but also on the child itself. And remember, these children are raised where they're coming in with things that's happening in their life too.
Yes.
Home environment,
yes,
as well as school environment.
Yes.
So what we have to do now as a society, not as as a parent, you know, that old saying is, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. My philosophy is if a child falls through the cracks, the community fell first. A nation falls first. You're looking at that one child, it's going to have a nation to raise that child. You know, we can't put all the blame on the parent because society dictates they have to work.
Yeah.
We can't put all the blame on society because society didn't ask you to have the child.
And
but
we create
we,
that.
Yeah,
we create
this kind of, what's that word, symbiose, or that environment where one trickles down to the other and it goes around and around in a circle and circle and circle. So I have many students that now, you know, what your children were saying, I mean, I got my degree in family education while I was trying to go to medical school, and I didn't understand why am I taking all of these, you know, these psychology courses. Well, now, since I've been doing my business, I'm not only a principal and a teacher. I have to be a counselor. I have to be a nurturer. I have to counsel my parents as well as my children because I have to diagnose what's happening with my students. You know, you have to be almost like a brain surgeon now in everything you do because you have to get into the psyche, the mind of the child, because the child will come to school and act out the behavior because they can't go home and do it, so they come to school and act out the behavior. So we have to look at why is this child acting up in school? Why is this this child having behaviors that does not make sense because he wasn't doing this yesterday, but why is he doing this today? I just went to from a parent-teacher conference with my granddaughter yesterday, and one of the teachers, she told my granddaughter that she was special ed.
Uh-huh.
And my granddaughter is 8 years old.
Yes.
And so I know that is not a language of an eight-year-old. And so when she tries to explain to the teacher, well, my grandmother, she has a doctor's degree and she owns a school. The teacher came back and said, doesn't matter, you're still a special ed student.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to meet this teacher because I wanted her to see not who I was, but also to let her know that this is not a language of an eight-year-old. You're stressed out. And so because you're stressed out and frustrated, you put it in on an eight-year-old. So when I met her, and make a long story short,
they have
my granddaughter in the wrong class. Basically, she's in an ESL class, and they didn't realize that her first language is English because her father is Hispanic. And
you know,
when I spoke,
I'm sorry, Dr. Kelmer, you know what I really appreciate about what you're sharing this morning is the factor that as you're discussing what's going on with this young lady, you said she's 8 years old?
Yes.
Your granddaughter. And what you're saying to us, especially those parents who are listening in today who are going to school themselves, is that, you know, something that we didn't even bring out in our discussions earlier is that when you have a student, a parent that's going to school or trying to manage going to work, has to also deal with the problems that are going on in school with the child.
Exactly, and that's what the point I was trying to get back to. I apologize. But that's what I'm saying. We're not only dealing with the dynamics of the parents because the parents have to go through what they have to do with at work, but you got to look at the dynamics that the child is going through because they're dealing with issues too, and they're dealing with psychological demise. And this is causing, you know, as they get older, and each grade they go, and if you get the wrong type of teacher or the wrong type of people around, then you're damaging them psychologically. You get these engrams where these things are stuck in you. You heard of the saying, I don't care how much positive I hear, but I always still remember the negative. But that's an engram.
Yes.
And that's a mental, because that's in, it deals with your psyche. So when we're talking about mental illness, not only with the parent, we got to look also at the child. And that's where my angle, I'm looking at, I always feel like I am a brain surgeon when it comes to the children's psyche. Because whatever's going on that child, it's because it's either it's at home or something, other environment is affecting that child, besides the food, too.
Dr. Kilmer, do you have a website or are you available for consultation? Are you through the White Apple Institute for any parents out there that may need some help with support issues and balance issues, that maybe you can give them some ideas?
Well, I think that one of the things that you and I, we have a personal relationship, and so I believe that the best way to get a hold of me is through Applewhite Institute, because, you know, we're meshing our skills together. So you answered your own question.
Good point, because I want our listeners out there, we have a number of people on Switchboard right now, and I want to try to get to them, because I'm sure that they have either some ideas and comments for you or about this topic. There's one that's been holding on, and I'm so, my apologies, 540 area code. I'm not sure what area code that is. Would you come on board there?
Yes, I'm aboard.
Okay, 540.
Yeah, this is Ms. Karen Hamby.
Oh, yes. Okay. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm glad I caught you this morning.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Any comments?
I do. I have a few. You know, as we look at, you know, I was listening to all the comments and your show this morning, and, you know, it's really, I look at education as, and going to work and trying to facilitate a family. And, you know, we are, you know, our children's...
like role models?
Well, yes, not just role models, but, mm-hmm. you know, in our achievements, you know, we're their example. And if we drop out of school, then what does that show our children? That it's okay to drop out of school, that an education is not necessary? Well, you know, we're sending the wrong messages. So, you know, I'm encouraging people, yes, you need to get back in school. You do whatever you can. And it is stressful to multitask with jobs, with work, and with school, and with children. And it's all about time management. And I know with my own experience, you know, trying to be an artist and trying to bring culture into not only the community but the family as well, you know, and I'm trying my hardest to accomplish this, you know. And I have a niece who has dropped out of college, and I'm trying to encourage to her, and she's like 22 years old, and she's like, mm-hmm. oh, I know better. I know better. And I'm like, okay, I've been out in the job market, and there's not a job out there that doesn't require a formal education. You know, anything that you want to do, you know, it's really important that you follow your dreams. You know, a lot of people have quit school so that they can raise a family, so that they can have children, and so on and so forth. You know, but it's important that we follow our dreams, follow our hearts, because that's what matters. And
thank you. I really appreciate that.
There is so much, so many colleges that are screaming for students to come back. You know, there's so much financial, you know, assessments for people to come back to school. You know, and you know, and it's like, oh, I don't have time for it, but yes, you do. You do have time for it. You know, you got to make time.
That's
you know?
Right. I was just going to say that. You know, you make time for what you want to make time for. But there's still balance that has to be there. And we certainly appreciate you sharing that about your niece. And we hope that some of the things that we're going to say today will help you. Maybe you can play this show for her so that she can get an idea of how important balance is. Because one of the things that Dr. Kelmer was alluding to in our discussion is the factor that there's the mental health aspect of all of this, and mental health requires great balance. So if you want to have good mental health and good physical health, and of course good spiritual health, you have to learn how to balance out the elements of all of those. And so one of the things that I'm going to encourage all of us to do this morning is to talk about the factor that we need to address parents and anyone that you know that's going to school and going to work and trying to balance, especially with any form of disability or emotional challenges, to talk about the stress. Because believe it or not, stress and anxiety at the very beginning begins to build and can definitely cause additional chemical imbalances in the brain that can lead to very, very erratic behaviors. So we need to catch it, nip it in the bud. You agree?
Exactly.
Thank you. We have another caller, Dr. Kelmer, and after I take this caller, feel free to share any comments that you have on what we just talked about just now. We have a 757 that's been holding for a while here. Good morning. How are you? The 540 call was from Virginia. What is the 757?
It's Dr. Sarah Tolliver here.
Oh, Dr. Sarah Tolliver, thank you so much for calling in. Yes.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? It's been a while since
I,
you've been with us.
It's been too long, Dr. Applewhite. I'm delighted to be a part of the show and the dialogue this morning.
Yes. Well, what I wanted to ask you, and as a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, a large part of your consultation work is with adult students trying to finish their doctoral degree or master's
that
degree.
That is correct. Right.
And of them have family responsibilities, and I gather you've seen a lot of stress. Is that right? Have you seen a lot of stress?
Yes. I actually want to piggyback on some of the comments that you made and reference from a scholarly perspective. There's actually a entire field of science devoted to the study of the mind-body connection. And the callers want to note and kind of look up psychoneuroimmunology. Psyche refers to the mind. Neuro refers to our nervous system. Immunology refers to what? Our immune system. It is a direct relationship between the factors in our life, such as stress, anxiety, and how it manifests from a biological and physiological outcome.
Yes.
From my personal research is naturally devoted to work-family relationships and the work-family balance, particularly as it relates to academics, women, and graduate studies. And there cannot be enough dialogue, information, education to individuals regarding the impact and the importance of having a healthy balance. And as we prompt individuals to pursue higher education, let's also encourage that have the resources in place, the support system in place, so that the person can individually see the end of that goal and they not see the end of the goal and then be too ill to enjoy it.
Yes.
For instance, a number of colleges and universities have counseling centers and support groups, tutorial type of resources. Tap into family members, friends, community-based type of organizations that will support child care assistance. And there's no shame in receiving assistance, so that if the goal is to get a college degree or to pursue that graduate degree, make that your main focus. Make that the job. Take care of the children. Take care of yourself. That is just the basics of where we're heading now, that before we were, everyone was so interested in being a power, just a power woman, doing it all, having a career, having a family, having this education, and now it's important to make our focus ourselves first.
Yes.
And everything will fall into place.
You know, Dr. Tolliver, one thing that I wanted to kind of elaborate a little bit on is the factor I brought out earlier in the show, the instance that just happened recently with Miriam Carey, a young woman who, a dental hygienist, a student herself, who had a baby and dealt with some postpartum psychosis. And one of the things that we need to understand is that was a temporary situation that was going on. Her medication plan was limited because she did not have a prior history of psychiatric issues. But however, what we're seeing now is even with parents that are going to school and dealing, trying to balance and manage all the stress and everything, that because they're hearing so much about mental health on the news and mental illness, many of them who are diagnosed with depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, any kind of schizophrenic affective disorder, they are afraid, definitely apprehensive, to go into disability resource offices of their local college or to their family and admit that they're having symptoms of stress. Now, I don't know how we can overcome that without, of course, talking about my good old subject, my good old healing element, which is love. And so that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to share some love out there, and we're going to ask people to come along with some comments that will help our parent, our student parents out there feel more comfortable, and our veterans. Don't forget our veterans with families. Feel more comfortable about sharing the stress symptoms. How do we do that? Any comment? You want to start us off? Anything that you'd like to say?
Well, I guess is that tailored to Dr. Tolliver or the audience in general?
Right, Dr. Tolliver, I'll take you first on that, and then I'll go to Dr. Kelmer, and then we'll take some other people in the audience.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not sure how many in our audience today recall the tragedy of Andrea Yates. The mother that drowned, I believe it was 5 children. She suffered from postpartum depression.
Yes.
And had basically exhibited signs of depression. Family members, church members, and everyone observed her as kind of being an autopilot, but
yes,
no one was really willing to come out and say she needs to be admitted or she needs further assistance.
Right.
Now, to kind of add to that comment, it can be often, particularly in women, and as a women's health professor and also an African-American woman and advocate for African-American women,
yes,
oftentimes in terms of mental health, black women are somewhat dismissed because of that gap in terms of a disparity between the traditional medical model that is basically based on a model of the white Caucasian, the white male, versus, you know, down the continuum to a black female. So it, unfortunately, it's not surprising that a black woman that had a professional career with an 18-month-old child could be overlooked in terms of that.
Yes.
And perhaps from this tragedy, it will speak to medical professionals and our counseling profession and all of us that everyone requires the same attention and respect in terms of their needs. Further, in terms of our community, there's stigma attached to mental health issues. There's,
yes,
you know, that's,
absolutely. Yes.
That's, mm-hmm. And there's probably other members of your our guests today that can detail more about,
yes,
the stigma in terms,
absolutely,
of
And when we talk about the African American community, we know that that is a challenge as far as understanding any. As a matter of fact, most non-white cultures, okay, have an issue with understanding mental illness, and that is because it has not been explained very frequently in our circles. And that is because mental illness, even as today, is regarded as some kind of spiritual issue that needs to be handled by religious leaders. And we get into a lot of complications there, where the actual chemical imbalances that happen in the brain are not truly being addressed. And so I appreciate you bringing it out, because we will have a show down the road that addresses just that very issue. Let's open up the switchboard now. We've got about 16 minutes still left on our show today. We thank White Apple Institute for bringing the student-to-teacher radio show to us. We have a 209 caller. 209, are you there? Is that a San Francisco number?
Yes, Dr. Applewhite.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Applewhite.
Anything that you wish to say?
This is Kim, one of the board members.
Oh, Kim, oh, yes, thank you. Thank you very much for calling in this morning. I appreciate that. Any comments we have Dr. Kelmer Muhammad, who is, we're waiting some response from in just a moment. And I just wanted to make sure we get enough people in on the switchboard that we acknowledge if you have anything that you have to say about how we can help some of our student parents out there to balance their lives better.
Are you asking me for a comment, Dr.
Yes.
Boy?
Yes, I am.
I'm sorry I came on a little late.
Yes, that's okay.
Well, I'm sorry I came on a little late, but I'm listening to the comments. I appreciate both doctors who have come on. And,
yes.
Again, me having, as you know, a care home, and I work with several people in the community. I deal a lot with people in the community not knowing how to handle their stress, and I also deal a lot with women. So I enjoyed the comment. I'm sorry if I can't remember your name, because I'm working at the same time right now while I'm talking. But I enjoyed the comment that you made about how they need to balance, because what I find directly employing people, especially women, they may have children, they want to go to school, they have a lot of ambitions. The one thing I never see is balance.
Uh-huh.
How will you balance this? I know you have a dream. I know you want to do this. But the workforce, we see it completely different. How can you balance so you don't have these excuses that you can't get to work?
Mm-hmm. And, Kim,
because go ahead, Apple.
I just wanted to say, Kim, I truly appreciate the fact that you're helping to produce this show this morning. I want to give kudos to you for that. And thank you so much for your comments. If you have anything more to say to Kim or the board members of White Apple Institute, please make sure you visit our website at whiteappleinstitute.org and click on radio, and certainly click on that donation button so that you can continue to keep our show and the services going for these adult students and student veterans out there who are struggling to balance school and work. We have another call. Kim, we'll come back to you if we have time here. We have a 216 Ohio number. Okay, and we're going to come down to San Diego. Any comments? 216.
Yeah, can I make a comment?
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
There's two things I would like to mention. Number one, I'm very unconventional. I don't believe that everyone should be going to college. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. For the simple fact, that's the reason why especially young students, they're stressed out because parents are forcing this old tradition on them. I believe in the rich man, poor man book. I believe in that because some people are just not meant to go to college. Second of all, when we talk about that the young lady, we never thought to think about perhaps, because I don't believe postpartum caused her to do what she did. It could have been her medication, someone could have screwed up her medication, and then basically because she was thinking that the government was in her ear and things like that. So it's more to it than postpartum depression that caused her to go and put her child in that car. So we got to look at the fact. College is not for everybody. And I tell my students, here's the other thing. I try to get my children, students to get their GED rather than get their high school diploma, and then from the GED go straight to get your associate's degree and go to college. We need to stop trying to force these children to go to college when they're, especially when they're not ready for college. So
are
the two comments I want to make, and hopefully we can talk about that at another time.
And you know what, Dr. Kelmer, thank you for bringing it out, because the factor is that, and that's why we have to say higher education, because what we're talking about is any kind of job training program or any kind of certificate program, they're all good. All of them are just essential, and we do need to stop pushing that, because many of our student parents that are that we're talking about today are stressed because they believe that the college degree is the only thing that validates them. That's part of their anxiety and stress level. So you have a very good here, okay? We'll bring on another caller here. We have a 216. I think our producer, one of our producers, Melvina Sullivan, you have something to say, Melvina, this morning? Any comments? Okay, we have a 619 area that's been holding for quite a while. Good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite. Good morning, 619. Are you there? Okay. And we have a 602. We have a 363 number here. Please come on board if you wish, or you can state your name.
Yes, Dr. Apple.
Uh-huh.
This is Professor Consuelo Astete, and I am so happy to be listening to the show this morning. The guests you're having are just superb and marvelous, and especially when we can have different perspectives of looking at similar problems. I really send you kudos. God bless you this morning.
Thank you so very, very much. And I appreciate you serving on the advisory committee and coming on this morning and sharing any comments that you may have, and the kudos that you're giving to Dr. Kelmer and to Dr. Sarah Tolliver for being part of the show this morning. Dr. Kelmer, Muhammad, I have another question that has been coming up on the chat line right now, and that is, how do you tell a parent when they're coming in and they're stressed out and they're trying to pick up their kids and they're late picking up their kids and trying to get to school that night? Do you have any situations like that that you've had to deal with, where you've had to just kind of sit somebody down and say, let's talk for a minute?
Well, yes, of course. This is what I would tell my parents, and I established the rule real quickly. Remember, I have a life, too. I understand you have a life, but I have a 9-to-5 job. Imagine if your boss didn't allow you to be late. I mean, it didn't let you off on time, and that's causing you the stress. So you tell the parents that, remember, I have a family, too, and I have to get to my family. And when I told my parents that, they stopped trying to put me as just a teacher for until 12 o'clock midnight, because I had to cut parents off with they couldn't, you know, stop calling me at 10 o'clock at night. I still have a personal life. So what I'm saying, and please, Dr. Applewhite, I prefer to be called Professor Kelmer rather than, even though I have that degree, I like Professor Kelmer.
Okay, Professor Kelmer, thank you.
Yes. So just tell them that you have a life, too, and that you have a personal life, and that let them put themselves in your shoes. And then basically, if that doesn't work, you have to, basically, I start charging parents, too. And when I start charging them $20 per minute, I didn't have no more problem after that.
Yes, I understand. I understand. However, the problems that basically you're coming up with, is that related to the concept that I mentioned at the very beginning, and that's about balance, the lack of balance, the difficulty.
Absolutely.
Yes, managing the commitments. We many times commit so many different things, and we're not able to manage those commitments. And that seems to be the biggest problem that I'm seeing, not only with our student veterans who are coming back after, I mean, they're trying to adjust to civilian life in addition to adjusting to go into the culture of classrooms or even online learning. And that's a whole different show right there about the online learner, the personality of that. But there's so
and
many.
Dr. Applewhite.
Go ahead.
Dr. Applewhite, remember, you have to get parents to conform to your culture. And once they start conforming to your culture, then they started to, you know, because we're a conformist kind of group of people. We follow the trends. But once you started to acclimate them into your culture, how you do things, then they start to understand. It's like children, you know, they need rules and guidelines too. And it has to do with the mental psyche too as well. So
yeah. Absolutely. Dr. Tyler, do you have anything more to say on that subject?
Well, personally, I'm kind of on the other end of the continuum in that I have been such an advocate, I think, in terms of bringing a more humanistic approach to the concerns of the working parent and having been a mom that worked, and I had twins. I was a doctoral student, a time faculty member, and I was caring for two special needs children. My twins each had different special needs and delays.
Wow.
At their premature birth. And I was fortunate in that I had a supportive home structure between my mother and my husband that I was able to, at some point, downsize to part-time. But it was still a 90-hour gig if you consider the house, the meals.
Wow, yes.
And then the graduate work and then the multitude of students that I would have to manage. Didn't put my children in child care until they were toddlers. And I don't recall having a pattern of lateness, et cetera. However, living in the Virginia area, the traffic is horrendous most of the time. And you have to plan. But even when you plan, the best planning, sometimes you don't make it.
Yes.
But I just more or less focused on, I knew that my children needed me, and I knew that I needed to be there for them. And I went through a period where I was so focused on the needs of everyone else that I completely lost focus on my own health needs. And until I was laid up one day and couldn't do anything for anybody, I realized I had to put myself first. So
yes,
that's why I am the advocate on the other end of continuum, that I think in essence we shouldn't overload ourselves, and that we take each day, one day at a time, and not take a full load of classes if we've got children and work and everything, and just take time to breathe and smell the roses. That's my perspective on that.
Very, very good point. And I think that if we're talking about bottom line here, as we've come to a close on the show here, is that the number of students that are dropping out is significant. I mean, we have a higher dropout rate among adult college students than we have among our high school dropout rate. So that's pretty serious. And part of that is just what we're saying, is that balance of commitments, that ability to manage work and family responsibility. We have found something very interesting about adult students, and that is that they usually have the intellectual capacity to pass the courses. Academically, they can do it. It is all the other things in their lives, and that's why we call them, we all call ourselves, because I'm part of that too, just like you are and Dr. Kelmer, Professor Kelmer there. We are part of that culture of women, especially African-American women, who have rolled up our sleeves and become non-traditional students. And non-traditional students are making up 50% of the college campus. And so these things, the factor of addressing financial obstacles is good. We need to address that with people. But we also have to pick up and talk about managing the stress in their life associated with balance of family and work and school schedules, study schedules, and that kind of thing. If you are having any of those challenges, this is the time to connect with WhiteAppleInstitute.org and either put in the information in your contact form, subscribe to our newsletter so that we have your information, click on your donate button, or just go to your Facebook or follow us on Twitter and put in your likes. We really will appreciate that, and it helps us to continue to promote, generate interest in this very, very important topic. So thank you so much, all of you, for being part of the show this morning. We have a few more people that I wanted to try to get on this morning. Is that 619 caller? Are you still there? Okay. And do we have any other comments from you, Kim, over there in San Francisco? Okay, well, I'm going to bring some closure to the show and share this with you. As you go through this next week, like I asked you earlier, I wanted you to reach out and talk. I want you to tell somebody that you understand if they're having stress in their life and that it's a great thing to talk about it, and help them to understand that you'll keep it confidential, because that's very important, especially in today's world. That we don't have to be afraid, because we're seeing all of this stuff about mental health on the news and it's just overwhelming us. I know that. But I don't want our students, our potential students, to come afraid to say, I need some help. We close now with Wes Rickson. Thank you all so much for being part of the Student to Teacher radio talk show this morning. Thank you. And our producer is ready to go with Wes Ricks here.